Blog Talk Radio.
The True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. I'll be your host, by name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery, Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, and we got so many memos have came in, and we got to play a couple of them, just to because we did say we're going to take a look at something, and we got a lot of memos, a lot of messages came off the machine to play part of it, and then we'll see which way the lesson goes as it unfolds. But we might well hear something. One thing about it, you know, we got to understand one thing. Understand the Bible, if you listen to the last two tapings, go back over it, it give you a great breakdown. So it's up to you to compano over that, but we're going to play a couple things from the and from the announce machine and see can we analyze which way to go in tape number 45.
Need to protect a Jewish criminal from justice to this day.
So, my question to you is, what should be my remedy? I lost 48 years of my life. I've invested time, money, and effort into this organization. I feel like I've bought a Rolls Royce with a nice-looking exterior, but with a Fiat engine. So, my question to you is, what should be my remedy? I lost 48 years of my life. I've invested time, money, and effort into this organization. I feel like I've bought a Rolls Royce with a nice-looking exterior, but with a Fiat engine. So, my question to you is, what should be my remedy? I lost 48 years of my life. I've invested time, money, and effort into this organization. I feel like I bought a Rolls Royce with a nice looking exterior, but with a Fiat engine.
Okay. Until 1978, no part of Carlisle claimed priesthood in your church. Why it took so long time to overcome heresy? I don't know. I can only say that. That is where it is here now. We are carrying on a very substantial work in Africa, for instance. We're carrying on a very substantial work in Brazil. We're working on these people. We're developing them. We've had the new leadership of the church. And they're able. They're doing great work. And we love them and appreciate them. And respect them. And we're trying to help them.
out a little bit on the table. So the bottom line is, what can I say? We got so much to play and so much have came in to go over, but we got memo saying the elder be a few minutes late getting on the broadcast, so he'll tell y'all about the broadcast a little bit later. And the young lions, they'll be a few minutes late coming to the broadcast. And that's why we tell Sister BS, Judah Israel, get ready now. So I'm getting ready. Get ready. Practice that voice and holler on that microphone. Go real soon as we turn up the heat. We'll turn up the heat. There. Sister BS, Judah Israel, he's going to be turned up. And we're going to see a whole lot of them start hearing voices behind their back. So only the strong survive. So right now, who on stage right now? So who on stage right now? And will be Mother E. All right. We know Mother D up Israel. She's still up on the weather. You know, one thing about it, when it gets hot and heavy, Mother D up Israel said, let's hear. If it's hot and heavy, I'm ready to go for that. And that's the same thing about the other two mothers. Hot and heavy, ready to go. One thing about it, you got to lead by example. I told you it's not going to be easy, but the job will be done. So until the young lions come on the broadcast, we can see about Mother E. And Mother E can hold down until they come to the network. All right, Mother E, Tribe of Yahshua Judah, one of the most out of camp one. Hey, Mother E.
Yahweh bless you still, Israel. Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Yahweh that, Mother. See, Mother, you got to understand from the Bible is right. And you have a lot of those that surround you as you turn the heat up a little bit. They can hear voices behind their back. And once you recognize that spirit from the page of the book, just call the way it is, because it's going to get hot and heavy as we unlock some more information that has been given to us. So we're going to see, we're going to watch everybody from the page of the book. And that's the key. How you watch a man or a woman from the page of the book. All you got to do, just be looking in that book and see. Okay. I know what this is all about through the pages of the book. So, Mother, we want to hold down until the elders come on the broadcast, and we're just going to just put a little something on the table for a minute, spirit-led. So, if you don't mind, look right down and see if you can find Luke chapter 12, verse 12. And let's see, can we get something going on until the rest of them come on the network, although Sister B, as Judah Israel said, I ain't ready yet here. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready to hold that microphone real soon. Right now, Mother, Luke, the trail, verse 2, take a look at it, Mother, and tell me what that say there. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right, Mother. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you. And we also know Mother Z saying, look, sir, you know, I'm sitting at my desk now with blank papers and five markers, but I'm always ready to go because I know what this thing is all about, and that's a great thing. So, look at something, Mother. We heard some things a minute ago. You know, we pointed toward the Mormon Church, and but one thing I do know, in the seventh chapter of Judges, Mother, something I do know in Judges chapter 7 that we can read. Can you look at verse number 3? We'll read a few verses, so we can be clear on some things. We open up tape number 45, unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, Deep Dark Sands, tape number 45 of the Bible, and Judges chapter 7, and we'll pick it up at verse 3. Let's read a little bit, Mother. You on the clock. Come on.
The book of Judges, chapter 7, verse 3. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ear of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. Verse 4. And the Yahweh said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that if whom I say unto thee, thus shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Verse 5.
Mm-hmm. That's good right there, Mother. So you see, so now we see how we got the first taking how he operates. Because we got so many memos and all this private meetings with the writer on, we gonna examine all that. So we find out when the Almighty want to get a message to, he picks out someone and he'll say, you know, Gilead, something to happen that you don't know nothing about, but I do. He said, you got a lot of them talk a good game, but when the showtime come down for action, they going to hear voices behind their back. And when they hear voices behind their back, just tell them, go on back home and just sit and do, what do Ecclesiastes 12, verse 3 say? Hey, Mother, in the regular book, yep, don't see out. What do Ecclesiastes 12, verse 3 say? We're just going to take a time and throw a couple of foundation statements out. So, in Ecclesiastes, Mother, chapter 12, verse 3. What? 12, verse 3?
Ecclesiastes.
What do it
say? 3.
Yeah, what do it say in 12? Yeah. 12, verse 3. What does it say?
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 3. In the day when the keeper of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the ground ceases, because they are few, and those that look out of the window be dark.
Hear that? So, Mother, what he's saying, you will have a lot of them that's going to want to look out the window when it get hot and heavy. They're going to say, well, you know, I got to come up with some kind of excuse because the spirit that's in me that, you know, I'm going to wait until everything clear up real good. Then I'll make my showing. So you got a lot of them get hot and heavy, come on to look out the window. So when you understand that, and when they do look out the window, just okay, it's okay. I mean, you just look at it, okay. He revealed that to you. And that's what's going to happen with a few of them, come on to look out the window. But now, we're going to run to Ezekiel chapter 3, Mother. And we're going to see if we find Mother Z shortly. But Mother, we're going to
Ezekiel.
Look at Ezekiel 3:17-21. Let's see what we can get out and mother. See. He's looking at that 33 chapter of Ezekiel 33:1-11. Have that waiting on me, Mother Z. We're going to bring you in. That she be able to holler in that microphone, too. So we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 21. What that say that we can read there, Mother Z? 3:17-21.
Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. Verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the family of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thus shall surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor seekest to warn the wicked from their wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his sin, iniquity. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his sin, iniquity, but thus have delivered thy soul. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man do return from his righteousness and commit sin, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thus has not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Verse 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he do not sin, he shall surely live, because he is one. Also, thus has delivered thy soul, your soul.
So, see, our job is mother, and the mother's job. Our job is to warn the wicked. Now, if we come on the network, we warn you, show what the Bible saying, and we don't take heed to it, that's on you. But you have delivered your soul. So it's all about delivering your soul. See, you only can do what he gives you to do because you only can get salvation for yourself. But right. By your example, it can help some. By your example, it can help some. By leading by example. So, Mother Z. Oh, okay. All right. So, how much. It'll be in a minute. Okay, what we'll do, we'll run to the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. Then we bring Mother Z and Charlotte. Cause, see, that's a case in point. How you make a calling is from the book. See, somewhere in these lessons, we're going to show you where Joseph Smith, you know, the head of the Mormon church. He made a lot of statements. And we're going to examine what he said through the page of the book. And we're also going to examine some more things along the way. See, a lot of statements have been made, but you got to examine everything that a person say and see what it line up with this book. If it line up with this book, you know you own something. Don't judge them by appearance. So before we bring Mother Z in, Mother E, we're going to go to 33rd chapter 1 through 11 of Ezekiel. And then we're going to bring Mother Z in because she should be ready to hotten that microphone a little bit too. So we have to make up some detours, but we'll do that. And Ezekiel 33, what can we read, Mother E, in 1 through 11? Ezekiel 33, 1 through 11. What
do you say? The book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verses 1 through 11. Verse 1. Again, the word of the Yahweh comes unto me, saying, verse 2, Son of man, speak to the children of the people, and say unto them, when I bring thee forth upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. Verse 3. If when he sees the sword coming upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people. Verse 4. Then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and take my warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword coming and blows not the trumpet, and the people be not one, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his sin, but his blood shall I require at the watchman's hand. Verse 7. For thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the family of Israel. Therefore, thus shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, that wicked man shall die in his sin, but his blood shall I require at thy hand. Verse 9. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his sin. But thou hast delivered my soul, myself. Verse 10. Therefore, O the son of man, speak unto the family of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgression and our sin be upon us, and we find a way in them, how should we then live? Verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, said the Yahweh, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn ye from your evil ways. Well, why did you die, O family of Israel?
Yeah. So Ezekiel was told to tell the truth. children of Israel, all of them, in the warm that the shoe fit, tell them, turn from your wicked ways. Because he said, your wicked ways is going to cause you death. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. So when we call this network, we watch everything from the pages of the book. He's saying the children of Israel, turn from your wicked ways, because if you do not, what you got coming for you is death.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way it is. So now, we want to comment on what he give us unfolding. Now, Mother Z, tribe of Yahdah Judah, one of the most out of camp one, hey, Mother Z, Yahweh be to see right.
Yahweh bless and keep you still, Israel, the royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
So you see, Mother Z, all we can do is show them what the book says. If they don't turn from their wicked ways, all they got coming is death. We just got to read that. Now, Mother, we want to get a couple precepts on that, Mother. And then we're going to... We see the young Lionel about his good sleep, and we want to take a look at a couple of things there, Mother. In the same book of Ezekiel, in the 18th chapter there, Mother. Mother Z, same thing, we're going to 18th chapter, and we're going to take a look at a statement on that same line. See, when you put in leadership position, you have to lead by example. You can't tell nobody jack unless you lead by example. And that's what we, our goal is about. So we're telling the children of Israel all around the world, turn from your wicked ways once you know you are the children of Israel, because death is at the door. We just got through reading it. We ought to quote what we heard. In the 18th chapter of Mother, in 18th chapter of Ezekiel, can you help those see out in 29 down to 32? Take your time and look at that 18th chapter and look what it says in verse 29 down to verse 32. What it said in Mother Z, what it said we can read in Exodus chapter 18, 29 to 32. What did it say? Come on.
Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 29 through 32. Verse 29. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 29. It said the family of Israel, the way of the Yahweh is not eagle. O house of Israel, are not my ways eagle, are not your ways un-eagle. Verse 29. Verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30, verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O family of Israel, everyone according to his ways, said the Yahweh. Yahweh, repent and turn yourself from all your transgression. So iniquity shall not be your ruin. Verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgression, sin, whereby he has transgressed and made you a new mind and a new spirit. For why will he die, O house of Israel? Verse 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, said the Yahweh.
Wherefore, turn ye, turn you yourself and live, eat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you see, Mosea, we have to tell the ones that's not going to follow this book that you got to turn from your wicked ways, as we just got through here. He said, why should you die? The man going to kill you unless you turn from your wicked ways. We heard it already. So we're going to precept that mother. Then we're going to find that, look for that young lion. And Isaiah 62, mother. So in Isaiah 62, can you help the old seer out 6-8? So we come to this network. We don't know what the man wants to say and how he wants to say. But we do know whatever he wants to say, we all supposed to read together. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the game changer when we take some more look at Joseph Smith, the head of the Mormon Christian Church. And I see what you got there. I see what you got, man. We are an organization with 16 million and counting. Okay, good. Organization with 16 million and counting. Okay, good. But we're going to examine what we done heard so far and time to come. So, Mother Z, what can we read in Isaiah 62, verse 6 down to verse 8?
68. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 62,
and pick up at 6 down to verse 8. What can we read out of that, Mother Z?
Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6 through 8. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6. I have set a watchman upon. Just a minute. I have set a watchman upon their walls, O Yada Judah, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. He that maketh mention of the Yahweh keep not silent, verse 7, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Yahda Judah a praise in the earth. Verse 8, the Yahweh has swore by his righteousness right hand, and by the hand by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give your corn to be meat for thine enemies and thy sons, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink that your wine for thee which thou hast labored.
Mm-hmm. So what he's saying, mother? He said now he don't sit watchmen on the wall, and they ain't supposed to never hold their peace. And he said to get in order. Mm-hmm. They got the corn now, but you're going to have your own corn. And once you get your hand on your corn this time, it's going to be a continuation. He said, that's why the watchman got to come to those that's in this man's business. You got to say something. No, it's not going to be popular, dude, because you got a whole lot of stuff out there that have to be examined, like we played in the early part of this tape. We heard a lot of things. You know, one fellow said, "What do you think I should do? I've been a Mormon for 47 years, and I found out I've been duped. I'm 47 years up in, and I've been duped." He said, "What you think about that?" See, I can't answer nobody but from the pages of the book. I mean, I hear you speak, but see, me, those seer and the 690 camp, we know we got to answer whatever question it is from the pages of the book. So when you call and leave your messages, we're not going to respond to you because we be in our own spirit. But what we'll do, we'll play your message, and then we'll see what the Bible tells us to do concerning you. See, that's how you're supposed to operate. The Bible say concerning you. We don't get off into, or what my friend did, or what my mama or my dad did. No. We're going to tell you what the Bible's saying, and that's it. So, in your mind, the reason you don't get return phone calls, because we cannot tell you what we think and what we feel. But we can play what you said and let the Bible give us the answer when everybody can hear the answer together. Got it? Now, hey, Mother Z, in Proverbs chapter 28, can you help those see out in Proverbs 28, verse 9 and 10, Mother Z? Proverbs, see, we have to know these things here. In Proverbs 28, Mother Z, what can we read out of verse 9 and 10? And Mother E have a precept waiting, 9:31. Listen to this. So you want the 690 camp to respond back to you. But listen at this right here that Mother Z getting ready to read. In Proverbs 28, 9 and 10, and Mother E have me a precept on it, 31, 9:31. St. John 9:31, had that waiting on me. And then we're going to see if we crank that young lion up a little bit. He should be ready to roar. He came out of his den now, so he ready to roar. We'll find out shortly. So what you reading there, Mother Z? Come on.
Proverbs chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, he that turned away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Verse 10, whosoever calls the righteousness to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession.
Now what Mother Z just got to read? He's saying, listen, if you turn your ears from hearing the law, even your prayers, the person trying to pray for you, prayers as abomination to Almighty ears. That means your prayer cannot get past your ankle because he ain't going to hear it. Because you done turned your way yourself from the law. If you don't have the law, he's not going to hear you. So you make the phone calls about what can we do? I've been in the ministry 47 years. We understand it. But when you turn your ear from hearing the law, the prayers that will be made for you is abomination to the Almighty Yahuwah. Now, if something don't sit right with you after you heard that, then you get brother Hugh Whitfield, guess what? Whatever happened to that person, from that point on, that blood is on your hand. That's what we try to tell you about the word of Yahuwah. You might get frustrated about something that you don't have an understanding of. And you might come up with a tender tantrum. But guess what? If you call the righteous to follow your pernicious ways, whatever happens to that person, Yahuwah gonna have you to be accountable of it. Because you turned your ear from hearing the law. And then you call somebody else to fall and follow you. Guess what? Whatever happened to that person, that blood is on your hand. You're going to be required of it. That's why it's very careful to understand what this Bible's saying. Never take your venom answer to nobody. If you have something in your mind, keep it in your mind and disappear. Don't cause nobody to follow your ways. Because whatever happened to that person, it's on you. So now Mother E getting ready to read the precept of Proverbs 28, verse 9 and 10. Now Mother E going to read the precept. They're going to go look for the young lion and see what he working with. So when we read St. John chapter 9, verse 31, that Mother E, can you up those say out there, 9:31, come on.
The book of St. John chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that Yahweh hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Yahweh and doeth his will, him he hears.
You see that? So you see, so Yahweh do not hear a lawbreaker. He said, I only hear those that do my law. Him or she who I hear. So you see that? It's right there. Read one more time that mother, and we'll get a precept on that. What it say again in St. John 9:31? What it say?
St. John chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that Yahweh hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Yahweh and doeth his will, him he hears.
That's, hey, Marie, that's pretty plain. Is that pretty plain to you? Pretty plain to me? Is that pretty plain, Mother?
Yes.
Hey, Mother E, is that pretty plain to you?
It's plain.
Mother E?
Yeah.
Pretty plain. All right. A precept on that, Mother. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Verse 3, 4, and 22. Then you all got to have, okay, then what should I do? And that's a great thing. Because like we keep saying, we don't mind all the messages on the answer machine you can put on it. That's up to you. But we will not respond on things that we must respond through spirit-led answers according to whatever you have said. Because we not get off in our own feelings, do we not doing his will? Every answer, whatever you own, is written in the pages of the book. And if you got the right spirit, he'll give it to you. On the run, he'll give it to you. So I hope this is helping you from what we heard early part of the tape when we first came on. Now, Mother, what you getting ready to read?
1 John chapter 3, verse 3, 4, and 22. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. Verse 4, whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
He said, first of all, you have to examine yourself. Are you keeping the law? Mm-hmm. So what pleases him if you're keeping the law? Now, if you're keeping the law, that then he said, now ask me something. He said, what took you so long to ask me something if you're keeping the law? So you got to keep the law. Then he said, what took you so long to ask me something? Something might be wrong with you. What took you so long to ask me something? But make sure you keep it the law. Now, he had to pull that mother. He just didn't drop that down. John just couldn't have dropped that down without a precept. Because, see, what I have learned, not that I didn't know it, but he'll break things back to you, the table, that we have been a people that now the other nations have taught us to read English, but not to reason, not to comprehend what we read. We've been taught to read English language. We have been taught to read, but not reason. What do I mean by that? We read the Bible and let somebody tell you what it means, but the Bible, you get the answer to the precepts. But we are the peoples of the other nations said, well, we got to teach them the English. They're not illiterate. They're illiterate in English. So we'll teach them English because they didn't come over here speaking English. You will be into English. English is the last language on the planet that was created by Esau and his five sons out of the Latin language. That's where English come from. So you those that's an English major, that's not the tongue of the children of Israel. He never spoke English at any time. That's a bastard language that was produced by the Latins, descendants of Esau. They put that together. Keep that in your mind. So when you start want to quote your old seer because he didn't quote the kings right, we understand one thing, that they not quote the right language, period. Because English is the last language on the table. The children of Israel, even that came over here on the part that talks about it, they didn't speak English. And you have to beat English in them. And that's where even Christopher Columbus, when he did came in the 1490s, he had to bring interpreters because nobody spoke no English or Latin. You have to bring somebody that looked like them, that knew the language, to speak what to work with. So don't get hung up on being and then boast yourself because you are English major and quoting the other nation. Bastard language that was produced by the Latin. Got it. Good. All right. So now, what are we reading there, Mother? What are we reading?
We're going to a precept for 1 John 3:22.
Okay. What did I give? Did I give anything on it?
Yeah. You didn't give me none, but I got one. I got a precept.
You got one more. Hallelujah. You got one? Hallelujah. Okay, bring me that precept there. Yes. Now I recall, Mother. I recall back. I said 40 verse 8 in Psalms. I recall. Yeah, 40 verse. Thank you, Mother Z. 40 verse 8 in Psalms. That's right. I did say before I gave my half a cent in there, I recall saying 40 verse 8 of Psalms, the precept of that. Ask me something. Psalm 40 verse 8, because they pulled it somewhere. They pulled it from Psalms 40, verse 8, Mother. What it say in 40, verse 8? Okay.
The book of Psalms, chapter 40, verse 8. Psalms, chapter 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my Yahweh. Yea, thy law is within my mind.
Mm-hmm. So the will of our mighty one is his law. So that's his will. So now you want to know what his will is? Is his law. If you want to respond to you, do his law. Do the law, and he'll show you the protocol on how he operates. You got to do the law, and then he'll respond to you pertaining to the law. So if you're not doing the law, then don't look for a Bible answer that can sit right with you because you got to first be doing the law. It ain't going to sit right with you. And if you get frustrated, you know, because you're hearing what the Bible's saying, that's up to you. All right, no saying on that. Now they're going to go find a young lion and see if we bring him in. He don't came out of his cave now, so let's see if he's ready to roar on that microphone. He meet the young lion. Teach out of Camp 1, Brother Micaiah Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahweh bid you see royal, Brother Micaiah, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahweh bid you see royal. What's going on at WCC? I don't hear nothing. I don't hear the young lion. He's working on his microphone. Okay. Well, he's working on his microphone. All right. So, Mother E, so we have picked up a little something on the way, but in Matthew's mother, Mother E, in Matthew chapter 7, make it 24 verse 7. 24 verse 7. Let's see what we can get out of this in Matthew 24 verse 7 to 14. Matthew chapter 24 verse 7 down to 14. The WCC, then they're working on the young lion's microphone, and we'll bring him in after they give us the okay that his microphone have been ready for some talk. So in Matthew 24, 7 out of verse 14, help don't say out there, Mother E, come on.
Book of Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 to 14. Matthew 24, verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Verse 11. And many false preachers shall rise and shall deceive many. Verse 12. And because sin shall abide, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 14. And this is the covenant of the kingdom, shall be taught in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
That was excellent, Mother. That was excellent. Your network again. WCC said we gonna straighten out the Young Lions microphone.
Mm-hmm.
What you saying now? Here, we feel like we just want to mute him out of the broadcast tonight. Mute him out of the broadcast tonight. Yeah. What can I say? Now, Mother, see, we come on this broadcast, you never know what you're going to run into, but one thing we do know, that the six anointed camps, the word is a load. So, big dignitaries, what you saying now? Hey, Phil, we are let him back on the radio. Let's see, WCC, if the young ready. Find out now. We're going to find out. Brother Micaiah Israel from the tribe of Yadah Judah, young line up-and-coming teacher. Yahweh be to that seed right here.
Yahweh bless you there. Dear Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right. Hallelujah. Mo said hallelujah, Yahuwah, too. But they had the sleeves already ready. They had the sleeves already ready. That's what it's all about. See, one thing we do know, this ministry is a load. And like we said, it's hard to answer a question from the machines unless we answer for everybody to hear. But we don't want to scrutinize nobody to say, well, he said that. No. You let the world hear what we say. But we want to know one thing. You can put all the years you want off into anything, but with that light shine on you, you got to make adjustment according to Scripture. Because a young man said something, young line, Brother Micaiah. A young man asked a question in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 down to verse 19. He asked a question, and that's a great thing when you ask questions is to give an answer. Let's see what he says, Brother Micaiah, in the 19th chapter. A lot of people like to know these things. If they put in their strength for nothing, you know? But it's real plain in the 19th chapter, 16 down to verse 19, what we got to do if we just follow what's written. Well, it says we can read in Matthew chapter 19, 16 and 19. Young Lion, Brother Micaiah, come on.
The book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16 down to verse number 19. Verse 16 reads, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17. And he said unto him, why call thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Yahuwah the Father. That if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 18. He said unto him, which Yahuwah the Son said, you should do no murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness. Verse 19. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
That's pretty good. See, you know, we think it's a lot of things things that we supposed to be doing, a lot of riches supposed to do, but y'all go out there claiming. Young man asked him a question. Good master, what should I do? He said, you wanna get off in life? He said, keep the commandments, keep the law. That's all you gotta do, keep the law. It's just that plain. All you gotta do is keep the law. Whatever the law say, look at what the law tell you do, just do the law. You got a better chance on not doing the law, because we read earlier about not doing the law, what you got coming. And Moses read it plainly. Moses read it, and they can tell you now, if you don't keep the law, ain't nothing coming waiting for you but some death. That's it. Let's precept that to Luke chapter 10 now. Y'all lying? Because we got to precept it and take a little peep at something. Verse 25 and 26. What can we read in Luke 10, 25 and 26? What can we read there, young lion? Come on.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Luke, chapter 25 and verse 26. The book of Luke, chapter 10. Book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25 and verse 26. Verse 25 reads, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? 26. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest you? 27. And he answered and said, you shall love Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as thyself. Verse 28. And he said unto him,
all we want is verse 26, but that's okay. You might go and put 27 and go and put 28 there. But let's see what we can get out of that. Read verse 28.
Verse 28. And he said unto him, you has answered right. This do, and you shall live.
He said, we'll do it. He said, you want to live? He said, just keep the law. All you got to do is keep the law. You want to live? Keep the law. So everybody think that you're supposed to run around the mulberry bush. And no. Keep the law. You want to be in this life, man? Keep the law. That's all he's saying. He made it plain. I mean, so it's plain. All you got to do, you want to be off into where the sun and all the peoples of Israel are going to be at, then you just keep the law. So in 2 Ezra there, young man, no, I think I want to walk into 2 Ezra first. I want to see what was told to John in prophecy, but not in his days, that was in our days. So John was writing some prophecy in Revelation chapter 12. Look down at verse 14, down to verse 17. Let's see what can we get out of Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. Down to verse 17. What did it say there, young lion? Come on.
The book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 14 down to verse 17. Verse 14 reads, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and time and half a time from the face of the serpent. Verse 15, and the serpent casts out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Verse 16, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahuwah and have the testimony of Yahuwah the Son.
Mm-hmm. He said, this woman, she ran into the wilderness. That what it did. And she was going to be in the wilderness. He said, "Where did this woman run to? What wilderness that she ran to? Let's see, can we run that down there, young man?" He said, this woman, she broke out running to the wilderness. So where is this wilderness that she broke out running to? Let's go to Hosea chapter 11, verse 10. Let's see what this woman broke out, what this woman broke out to, and when. And we're going to find out when. When this woman did all this. So it's a prophecy of a woman breaking out to the wilderness. What wilderness did she run to? And you got to precept your Bible and start getting some clue on where she ran, this woman. Let's see what happened there. Chapter 11, verse 10.
The book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse number 10. Verse number 10 reads, "They shall walk after the Yahuwah. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west."
Ain't that something? He said, miracle wilderness, you know, they call this. How do you use that statement? Use some kind of way. You got to come to those fields. But you see, the children of Israel was already prophesied. They gonna prophesize that the woman's gonna rule in the wilderness. They call them. Give me a word. What they call America? They call America. Back in the day, they called it, can you help me out, young line? It's a statement that came today. It just got past old seer right now. Can you help those see out what they call this stuff? They call this place the wilderness. I'm trying to figure out how they turned. Come on there, young line. Help those see out right now. Come on.
Well, you said they called it a wilderness. I just remember some of the day I was called America Babylon or the Lost Wilderness.
Yeah, but they call it, it got away from me how they use this word, wilderness, over here. But this was a wilderness. So the peoples of Yahuwah are supposed to be in the wilderness. This is where they're supposed to be at. And we know that wilderness is supposed to be west. So the children of Israel came over here from the west. I mean, from the east to the west. So here go the prophecy that they broke out running. And long as they was doing the right thing, that was okay. But then all of a sudden, they stopped doing the right thing. See, that's the point. You can't stop doing the right thing. Because mother just got through reading it early in the lesson. You can't back away from this thing. You can't do the right thing, all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to do the right thing. See? Because he got no pleasure in you when he turned the heat up on you. Then all of a sudden, you don't want to do the right thing no more. You only hurt yourself. And anybody come in contact with you that influence you to do the wrong thing. It don't work. So you see, long as Israel was doing the right thing in the West, now, in the book of Adam and Eve, I think we need to explore that a little bit there, young man. I want to explore that a little bit. So, first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 8. You know, let's see if we deal with that just for a minute. We're going to first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 1. Verse 1 and 8. That's what I want. And Mother Eve, tell me Adam and Eve 26. Verse 2 waiting on me. let's see, can we analyze some things that we brought up that it can be clear where you're supposed to be at and where you're not supposed to be at. First book of Abilene, chapter 1, verse 1 and 8, young lion, Brother Micaiah, come on.
First book of Adam and Eve, chapter 1, verse 1 and verse number 8. Verse 1 reads, on the third day, Yahweh planted the garden in the east of the earth, on the border of the world eastward, beyond which towards the sun rising. One finds nothing but water that encompasses the whole world and reaches unto the borders of heaven. Verse 8, again, also, because Yahweh is merciful and of great pity and governs all things in a way he alone knows, he made our father Adam dwell in the western border of the garden, because on that side the earth is very broad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I ran him on the west of the border, because he couldn't be in the east. You don't belong in the east when you sin against the Almighty. So those that's over in the east call themselves Israelite descent. You don't belong in the east because you sin against him. See?
Mm-hmm.
He belongs in the west. And that's what we read. See,
mm-hmm.
Even Adam done wrong. He had to come out the east. When the children of Israel done wrong, they had to come out the east. So those that get this mindset, we're going back to the east, but that's not the will of Almighty. You don't belong in the east. You belong, you will be packed into the west until you get your act together, and then Yahweh will show you what's going on. So those that make trips to the east, that's only because you and your flesh. You won't be going to the east at all. It ain't time for it. According to what we read now, till Adam got low down and
mm-hmm.
listened to his wife, got himself messed up. See that? Young line, go to 15 chapter 1, 2, or 3, and we'll get with Moe behind that. Adam and Eve, 15, 1, 2, and 3. So you see, when we come on that way, we don't know what we're going to bring you, but we're telling you one thing about it. Whatever we tell you, you can be able to read together. So if you were the children of Israel, whatever went over there in 1968, you never belonged to now. Now, all the effects of you going in 1968, look what's going on today on you. Is it doing to you today over there? See? Because Yahweh told you, tough. When you sin against me, you're going to the west. And you stay in the west until you hear some words from on high. And you hear some words now. So now, Adam and Eve 15, 1, 2, and 3, what it say?
Okay. The book of Adam and Eve, chapter 15, verse 1, 2, and 3. Well, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, then Adam and Eve wept and sorrowed by reason of Yahuwah's words to them, that they should not return to the garden until the fulfillment of the days decreed upon them, but mostly because Yahuwah had told them that he should suffer for their salvation.
That's 1, 2, and 3 that fast.
Yeah, that's how we getting out of that. That one only got there. In my book, you got just one.
Hallelujah.
One verse.
Well, okay. All right, good. That's all we got. That's good. Hey, so you see, we want to hear something. So you see, when you do wrong, which we have done wrong, you got to come back to East. So those who got all these plans of getting back to the East, you got to wait until you get some word on how you hearing something now. Now, Mother E, in the book of Adam and Eve, chapter 6, 5 through 10, let's take a look at that.
Chapter
5 through 10. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
5 through 10. Yeah, what it the said, 5 through 10?
The book of Adam and Eve, chapter 6, verse 5 to 10.
Yes, ma'am. What that say?
The book of Adam and Eve, chapter 6, verse 5 to 10. Verse 5. If our own free will have we transgressed. Now, of our own free will have we transgressed to your desire for divination, greatness, and exalted state, such as I have, so that I deprive you of the right nature and with you then were, and I made you come out of the garden to this land, raw and full of trouble. Verse 6, if only you had not transgressed my commandments and had kept my law and had not eaten of the fruit of the tree, which I told you not to come, which I told you not to come, and there were fruit trees in the garden better than that one. Verse 7, but the wicked Satan, whom continued not in his first estate, nor kept his faith, and whom was no good intent towards me, and who thought I had created him, yet set me at naught, and sought the Yahweh head, so that I hurled him down from
heaven.
From heaven. Okay. So I hurled him down from heaven. It is whom made the tree a clear pleasant in your eyes until you ate of it by hearkening to him. Verse 8, thus have you transgressed my commandments. Therefore have I brought upon you all these sorrows. Verse 9, for I am Yahweh, the Creator, whom when I created my creatures, did not intend to destroy them, but after they had aroused my anger, I punished them with a grievous plague until they repent. Verse 10. But if on the contrary, they still continue harden their transgression, they shall be under a curse forever.
You hear that, Mother? That's plain. He's saying, reason why you're not in the East, the reason I ran you out of the garden because you sin against me. And if you continue to sin against me, you can be up under a curse. He said, you sinning against me. So I don't care what you got going on. He said, you sin against him. And you're not coming back to the East. You might go there because you got a couple of dollars, but you're upon the permission of those that allow you to get a passport to come back over there. That's upon the world system. You want to go back over there upon the Yahweh, the mighty hand of Yahweh, and you're not going to go back over there with your mindset you got. Now he says, I kick Satan down. I throwed him down. Now, we want to find out what Yahweh was, that mother. That's very interesting. So we're talking in the days of Adam and Eve, but what Yahweh was telling Adam and Eve, all this good stuff that we can read. Let's go to Luke chapter 10 there, Mother. And we'll look one verse, 18. We'll go to Luke chapter 10 and we look at one verse, 18.
Okay.
Let's see. And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, just to make it sound good. Think of verse number 17 and 18.
Chapter 10. Okay.
17 and 18. And Brother Micaiah, you have me first, Adam and Eve. It's something about that I can't get away right now. Have me that first Adam and Eve. Chapter 10, 7 through 9, with the precept of Proverbs 3, verse 7 and 9, waiting on me. So now, Mother, in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, don't make a little meal out of it, Mother. Make a little meal out of it in verse 16 down to verse 18. Luke 10, 16, 18, let's make a little meal out of it. Come on.
Luke chapter 10, verse 16 to 18. Verse 16. The book of Luke chapter 10, verse 16. He that hears you, hears me. And he that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me. Verse 17. And the servant returned again with joy, saying, Yahweh, even the devil are subjected unto us through thy name. Verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven.
Yeah, Mother. So now we know who. Now we know who's talking. We're back there in Adam and Eve, in verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Yahweh, four-letter man, even the devil are subjected unto us through thy name. Very important to the name.
Hallelujah.
So, now, right now, that was Yahweh the Son. That gave the order for Satan to get out of heaven. Way back there in Adam and Eve day. So that's how you, remember, when you precept your Bible, you better tell what's what through the precept. So Yahweh the Son said, I was looking at it, Satan get kicked out of heaven, falling from heaven. So that was Yahweh the Son back there with Adam and Eve in the garden. See? But only you have them answers when you precept your Bible. Can't talk a good game. Precept a good game. So, young lion in Adam and Eve, chapter 10, verse 7 through 9, can you up those say out of the precept of Proverbs 3, 7 and 9? What it say?
The book of Adam and Eve, chapter 10, verse 7 down to 9, and going down to Proverbs 7, chapter 7, verse 9. Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve, chapter 10, verse 7, read. When Adam and Eve heard these words from Yahweh, they wept a bitter cry. And Adam entreated Yahweh to let him return into the garden and look at it a second time. Verse 8. But Yahweh said unto Adam, I have made you a promise. When that promise is fulfilled, I will bring you back into the garden, you and your righteous seed. Verse 9. And Yahweh ceased to commune with Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Proverbs.
Hold that point. Because you did say 7. Think of verse 3, verse 7 and 9. But, so you see, you're only going back to the east. Remember, Adam had to get back to the west. So we, it's no need to try to even speculate how far west. The west is a mother. A mother Eve. The west is 33 verse 17 of Deuteronomy. See, we got a broad mind that no man mind have divided this lamp in three parts and gave Shem a double part of it. But remember, it was Adam, but we found out it's really Yahweh's son's land all the time. So he was in the west. The west go all the way, Mother Z, all the way to 33:17 of Deuteronomy. See, he was in the west. See, you see, our mind drawn up so small that we think that you mean just down the road a little piece. But we don't know how far that west is that he was at. Because according to 33 verse 17, let's talk about it, Mother E. Let's talk about this west in 33:17 of a book called Deuteronomy. Help me out there, Mother. Come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Okay. Remember him. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 7. Can you read? His glory is like the flashing of his bullock.
Like the firstlings of his bullock.
His glory is like the firstlings of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of a unicorn. With them, mm-hmm. he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000 of Ephraim, and they are the 1,000 of Manasseh.
Yeah, Mother? So he's saying that Ephraim and Manasseh, he pushed the children of Israel to the end of the earth. The end of the earth is where we are now, the west, Mother. So we don't know how far Adam had to back away from that garden. See, we're looking at things with our narrative as something maybe down the road a piece. We don't know how far west he went because the west goes all the way to the end of the what, Mother?
End of the earth.
What the west? End of the earth. See, the west all the way to the end of the earth. You see that? All the way to the end of the earth. And you see that? You see how we catch something on the way of catching something? So and the children of Israel, they got to trim up on the west. See, we started doing a little trimming right now, but we ain't trimming right because, you know, you pay the anointed six counts, no, never mind. But we clear now the children of Israel is in the west. I mean, and the only way you coming back to the east, you got to be righteous. And right now, he couldn't bring you back nowhere because you ain't righteous. So, you know, so what you did over there in 1968, or what are you doing right now? Go over there, you're not following no Bible. You don't supposed to be in no part of the eastern world right now as we speak. You're supposed to be packed into the west. That's your territory. Now, once you get righteous, then Yahweh is going to do some things that we can read. Now, back in that, now I got to put a rabbit out of that. Let's see what he's going to do that we can read there, young lion. See, this is what he's going to do. See, the Bible tells all the story. All you got to do is know, just be upon the right spirit of Yahweh. This is what he's going to do. See, this is what he's going to do that we can read. In the book of Isaiah there, young lion, see, we ain't got to watch that one eye of Satan. We got to know. Remember he told John in the 17th chapter? He said, John, why are you marveling? I'm going to tell you what time it is, and same thing with you. We're going to tell you everything you need to know, but from the pages of the book. So now, in Isaiah chapter 11, young man. So we should be able to understand this now, what he's saying in 11 chapters. So you know you're going to be trembling from the west. That's good. So in the 11th chapter, young man, what can we read out of verse 14 and verse 15? Let's see if we can read in Isaiah 11, verse 14 and 15.
All right. Going over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 14 to verse 15. Verse 14 read, "But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Esau and his five sons, and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them." Verse 15. "And the Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the rivers, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make man go over dry shod."
You see that? So we find out one thing. This man he's talking about is you, Israel. So it's a river that we don't know what that river is because it got many names on it, but he going to open up a river called Dry Shot. That's the proper name for whatever that river is. He know you're going to be in the west, and he gonna open that river up for you to come down through Dry Shot back to the east. So you see what you're supposed to be? You're supposed to be in the west, because dry shaw is a big, is seven streams and made men to go over dry shaw. So you're going to come, he going to do something. So now when we go read this right here, we can start getting and showing you exactly where you're supposed to be at. You're supposed to be in the west until you get your sins down where you're not sinned against him. Then he's going to make his move. Then you're coming back from the west, and your avenue will be dry shaw. So that's how you're coming back. Now, how did you get to the west? We're going to find out in 2 Ezra chapter 13, verse 48 to 47. Now we're going to find out how you got there. See, all this you have to know, because when somebody is trying to show you something, you ain't going back until you got this right. You have to know this. He told Adam, you going back, Adam, but with your righteousness. And you going back to the garden. So Adam was pushed way back to the west. Now, how far? According to the Bible, the west go all to the end of the earth. See? So how did you get to the end of the earth? We're going to find out right now. See, the Bible tells you the whole story. You've got to make a decision. Is you going to do this, or are you going to wait on what the other world tells you to do? You coming back on a seven streams of dry shawl.
Mm-hmm.
So this way back to the east. He's going to wake up Adam, and Adam's going to lead you back to the garden. Now, you don't know how big the garden is. You're back thinking it's in some remote corner. You ain't got a clue how big the garden is.
Mm-hmm.
But thank Adam was west of the garden. And he will be coming back. He's going to wake him up.
What?
And then he's going to bring you back as righteous with him from the west. Now, how'd you get over to the west? How did you get over to the west? We're going to find out. But before we even read that, let's see him do something, down the line. Let's see him do something first. I want to go right there, right there. And they said, no, see, don't go there right now. Show you how I operate. Let's go and see if we go to the 36th, man, somewhere in the 30-some chapter. We're going to see how he works. You know, I'm struggling right now, young line, but we want to see how do he work. See, that's why you got to watch everything from the pages of the book. And that very same hour, he'll give you what he wants you to say, as if you got the right spirit. In the book, Isaiah, I'm struggling, young lion, on the book of Isaiah, but the statement I need in Isaiah 44, verse 21 and 27 and 28. I need to hear something there, young lion. In Isaiah 44, verse 21, then skip down to verse 27 and 28. I need to hear something. You know, let's see what we can hear out of this. Isaiah 44, 21, 27, and 28, what it say?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 21, 27, and 28. Isaiah 44, 21 reads, remember these, O Israel, and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You shall not be forgotten of me. Verse 27.
Hold that point, y'all. So you see how this mm-hmm. man talking? He's, O Israel, I haven't forgotten about you. Oh, Israel, you ain't been forgot. It just, your sins, help me out, Mother, in 78, 40, and 31 of Psalms, hey, Mother E, help those see out in 78, 40, and 31 of the book of Psalms. What did it say? 78, verse 40 and 41.
Okay. The book of Psalms, chapter 78. Verses 40 and 41. Okay, Psalm 78. The book of Psalms, chapter 78, verses 40 and verse 41. Verse 40. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the depths? 41. They turned back and tempted Yahweh and named the righteous one of Israel.
So, Molly, is we clear that fear is our own problem, not the world? See, we is our own problem, and we are always trying to find solutions to other people's, and is written before us, the reason why we in the West, in this condition, because we done what, Mother? According to verse 7841, what happened and why? We got, huh? Go ahead, Mother.
They turned back and tempt Yahweh. And limit hand.
You know how you got them grandbabies over? You said, I see the ice cream truck out there. I will forget your ass. But you didn't do what I told you to do. So y'all live in my hands.
Right.
You know, I tell you do this, and now you tell me the ice cream truck outside. So what? You live in my hands. What I was going to do for you, I'm not going to do for you. Because you're not going to do it. You ain't doing right. And that's what's going on today. We've got the prettiest people in the world, but we're not doing right. He's saying, listen, you limit my hand. I can't help you. So Adam was pushed to the West, and we don't know how far he was pushed to the West, because the West come all the way to the end of the earth. See? And we found out in Hosea 11:10, the children of Israel are going to have to tremble over here first. That means when they're trembling, that's why we got to be in order to be able to show them your problem ain't watching that one eye say. Your problem is you're not taught on what you have done against this man and limit his hand. And he ain't going to help you until you That's why when leadership tell you one thing, you kick against leadership, and then all of a sudden you don't want to know what happened. We come to help you. But we join you. You got to be in order. Don't let nobody take your crown away. This is what's going on. So this prophecy that young lion is reading, and look what he says, the power he got in verse 22, young lion, 44:22. Look what the man says, power he got. And you don't want to hear nothing this man saying? Verse 22.
Isaiah chapter 44, picking up at verse number 22. 22 reads, I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgression, and as a cloud your sin. Return it to me, for I have redeemed you.
He said, it's open, but it's up to you. He said, I'm dead, my part. He said, if you stop sinning against me and return back to me, then I'm going to do what's written in this book. Because right now, he said, but you ain't trembling in the West now. You over here skinning and grinning and backbiting, murmurs, complaining. You ain't doing right in the West. You got to do right in the West first. Is that what we're reading?
That's what we read.
He watching
Hallelujah
you.
As well.
You got to do right in the West. You over in the West now, but you ain't doing right. How you expect to get where you got to go and even arguing about, well, who land is that over there in the East? Man, don't we worry about it. You know it's Yahweh's land, and you ain't getting right there right until you do right. So what you do. Let's find out. In verse 27, he got to do something. Now listen to this. Hey, Mosey, this is real good what he got to do in verse 27 and 28. What he got to do? Come on there, young lion.
The book of Isaiah chapter 44, picking up now at verse 27, 28. 27 reads.
Well, hold that point. Hold that point, young lion. We might as well make a little meal out of it. I need a little meal out of it. I pick up a verse 24. So we got to make a little meal out of this. See, because, see, we don't know. See, every time you come on a broadcast and look at it, it can be your last. So if you don't go leave nothing untied. See, we need to know, because when they come and sit before you, you can't, don't try to deal with the bump the gum contest. Watch them from the pages of the book and give them an answer from the pages of the book. Take the verse number 24 down to take your time, young lions. 24 to 28, come on.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Isaiah chapter 44, and we're going to pick it up. We're going to start reading from 24 down to 28. 24 reads, thus says the Yahweh, your Redeemer, and he that formed you from the womb, I am the Yahweh that make all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. 25, that frustrate the tokens of the liars and make it diviners mad, that turneth wise men backwards and make it their knowledge foolish. 26, that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Yada Judah, you shall be inhabited, and to the cities of Yada Judah, you shall be built, and I will rise up and decayed places thereof, and rise up the decayed places thereof. Verse 27, that says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers. Verse 28, that says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasures. Even saying to Yada Judah, you shall be built into the temple. Your foundation shall be laid.
Ain't that something? Mm-hmm. This man said, Mosey, this man have made a profound statement in verse 27. Here's this man just, You remember he said you gonna go back over dry shawl? See what the man saying?
Hallelujah.
The man told
Hallelujah.
Look what this man told. You know where mothers is. That's why we got to be, we got to watch everybody. Don't look at seniority. Let's watch everybody. Bend your head down and look at this book and see where they bid at according to this book. See, look what the man says, what are you going to do in verse 27? What did he say?
Mm-hmm. The book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 27 reads, that says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers.
He said, I'm dry up your rivers. Because mother, now we got to investigate this. This is some big stuff here that got to be brought out, because you got to know what's going on. So those that got the mouth going, they got to understand. The Bible tells you everything. Let's go to EZRA, mother. We're going to the book of EZRA for a minute. Now, remember, they call the name out. This is 700 B.C. They call a man named Cyrus in 700 B.C. Do you know why nobody named no Cyrus in 700 B.C., mother? He told this man about a man named Cyrus. Cyrus is, I'm going to put some on Cyrus, and Cyrus is going to do some things. But who is this guy he talking about? Hey, Mother Z. I want you to give me something for a minute, because Phil got happy now. He don't got happy. Because every time things revealed, it makes no sense happen when something revealed. I mean, to you. See, when we know that we have laid the blow to you, because Yahweh has called this thing, and he called it about a people, and when he give you these things, it's up to you, you know? Let's see what we can read in verse number. Hey, Mosey, what can we read in 2 Chronicles 36, verse number 12? And Mother E, have me verse 22 and 23 waiting on me. We're going to 2 Chronicles, Mother Z, and we're going to look at one verse, 12. And Mother E, I want to hear this again, and 20 and 23. Listen real good. Mother Z, what can we read in 36, verse 12? Hold on, mother. Don't see him got happy. Now what you reading in Chronicles, mother? See, we're going to look at the chronological Bible and see what time this is in the Chronicle book. We know Isaiah had his mouth going in 700 B.C., but that's why we got to have your tools right. And we look at the Chronicle book. I want to find out something about the Chronicle book. And the Chronicles is around about 1,000 B.C. It's about 1,000. It's in David's time. 1,000 B.C., mother. And when he brought Cyrus back up again, it was about 700 B.C. And in the book, I want you to write these dates down, because it's very important to understand this thing. And then sooner or later, we don't know what they're going to be doing, mother. But they're going to recognize the signs of time sooner or later. But in 457 B.C., 400, write that down. When we get down to the book of Ezra, E-Z-R-A, that was around 457. Somebody was talked about 1,000 B.C. Isaiah came back in 700 and called this man name. Listen to what we get ready to unlock on tape 45. Come on, Mother Z. Now, we're going to build up. We're going to build up real good now, Mother Z. Take your time and come on with that 36 verse 12.
Second Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 12. And he did that which was evil. Second Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 12. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Yahweh, his Yahweh, and humbled not himself before Yahdah Judah, the seal.
Before
Jeremiah, the prophet,
the seal.
Speaking from the mouth of the Yahweh, spoke from the mouth of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So what we found out, Mother, it's not good to riff up in front of the seer. You say that's not good when you riff up or put bass in your voice when the seer is present. That what he's saying. And he said the Almighty don't like that. He said he didn't humble himself before Jeremiah the seer. In the same token, those that are anointed is the mothers, the elders, the teachers. And if you don't know how to humble yourself, that's not good in the sight of Yahweh. See, you don't get in your feelings where you not knowing the book. You're supposed to know how to humble yourself when you're in the presence of anointed leadership. Humble yourself. If you don't humble yourself, it's not good in the sight of Yahweh. Is we reading that, Mother Z?
Yes, yes.
So,
hello,
you have to humble yourself. When you all of a sudden get off into your feelings and you ignore, now you know the feelings of the Almighty. If you don't humble yourself in front of anointed leadership, Yahweh do not like it. Is we calling the way that verse said, Moses?
Yes, yes.
So you got to do that. Now, if you don't do it, we already know one thing. The right spirit is not on you. Because these scriptures will come to you even at the heat of the moment. If anointed leadership tell you something, humble yourself and do it. You don't get no second, third conversation back. Just do it. Because in the sight of Yahweh, he don't like it if you go another direction. Now skip down to verse number 22, Mother. And matter of fact, 22, 23. Now listen to this. And young lion, this is 1000 B.C. Now listen to the name that we hear. Now we heard the name mentioned in 700 B.C. We heard the name mentioned in 700 B.C. And now we go on, after we read this young line, have me Ezra chapter 1, and we're going to read down about something on the way of learning something. What to read, Mother E? 22 and 23, what to say?
2 Corinthians chapter 36, verses 22 and 23. Verse 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Yahweh spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, verse 23, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdom of the earth has the Yahweh of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him a house in Yahweh Judah, which is in Judah. Well, build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? Yahweh, his Yahweh, be with him, and let him go up.
Now, Mother, see, that's why we think this Bible is a novel. In 1000 B.C., Solomon was just getting right to build the temple. They knew about Cyrus to come in 1000 B.C. Mm-hmm. This guy named Cyrus was a king. Cyrus was not to build. Remember, the children of Israel in 1000 B.C., they were just getting ready. They were just jacking their slacks in 1000 B.C. Saul was the king, David, and Solomon. They was already set. This is a prophecy, Mother, that happened 600 years after they knew about the coming of Cyrus. They said, well, we built this temple around 1000 B.C. We just not getting all situated in here. You telling me somebody coming? Yes. That's how important to understand this Bible is. This Bible will tell you exactly where you at. You ain't got to watch that one eye saved in no time. In 1000 B.C., they knew about, in Jeremiah's time, they knew about Cyrus. Isaiah in 700 B.C., they knew about Cyrus. He said, and he told you exactly what Cyrus is going to say. He said, the spirit of Yahweh is going to be upon me, and he going to tap me side the head to let the children of Israel go get up out of here, for all the kingdom was mine. And that's when the children of Israel made their move from the Syrian, Babylonian captivity. This when the northern kingdom had an option to come back or go. And they chose to go. And now we're going to watch this story unfold. Now, we understand about the timeline. This talking about 1000 B.C., about a man named Cyrus. Isaiah talking about a man named Cyrus in 700 B.C. Now, we're going to read, actually, what they had already said he going to say and do. Let's watch him in action by the young lion in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Now, the time of this is right about what year I tell you Ezra was again at a young lion?
Around 457 B.C.
Around 457 B.C. It was talked about in 1000 B.C. about this man named Cyrus. Now, you know this man, Cyrus, cannot be no 600 years old. Look what get ready to be. It's Ezra 1:1 down to verse number 5. Now, watch this. See, this is the greatest piece of liturgy it is. This is 457 B.C. It was talked about in 1000 B.C. about a man named Cyrus. And you know, ain't no man, you'll cut man down. Ain't no man no 600-700 years old. Here's a conversation going on right here. In Ezra chapter 1, 1 through 5. Listen to it. Come on, that young lion.
The book of Ezra, Ezra, chapter 1. I'm going to pick it up at verse number 1 down to verse number 5. The book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse number 1 reads. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah the seer might be fulfilled. The Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, verse 2, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Yahweh of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth and he hath charged me to build him a temple at Yada Judah, which is in Yada. Verse 3. Who is there among you of all his people? His Yahweh be with him, and let him go up to Yada Judah, which is in Yada, and build the temple of Yahweh, Yahweh of Israel. He is the Yahweh, which is in Yada Judah. Verse 4. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the man of his place help him with silver and with gold and with all and with goods and with beasts, beside the free will offering for the temple of Yahweh that is in Yada Judah. Verse 5. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Yada Judah and Benjamin and the priests, the Levites, with all them whose spirit Yahweh had raised, to go up to build the temple of Yahweh, which is in Yada Judah.
Ain't that something? Wait a minute.
Hallelujah.
Who is the chief? Now remember, according to Mother Eve, according to 49:28, Mother, Genesis, can you help those see our mother? According to Genesis 49:28. But all we hearing about this right here, they specifically name names, but according to the book called Genesis 49:28, can you help those see our mother? What's going on in 49:28?
Look at Genesis chapter 49:28. Genesis chapter 49:28 reads, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their fathers speak unto them and bless them, everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them.
Mm-hmm. So, mother, a young man, so when we read this prophecy of Ezekiel, according to verse 5, if Israel's 12 tribes, then how many that went back to Yada Judah, according to what we can read in verse 5? How many went back? And but we found there was 12 tribes. So we have to find out something else after we read verse 5 by the young lion again. Can y'all help me out? How many followed this understanding with when Cyrus was put in Cyrus' mind, already prophesied exactly what he's going to do. Exactly what he's going to do, word for word. And he thought, see, that's what we keep telling you. Ain't nobody running nothing. Only reading people's in power today because you keep sinning against the man. If you do the right thing, and when you get tried, you take your feeling out the way, obey leadership, then you will see a change coming. But you got, you're all puffed up. See, when your spirit was right, Yahweh deal with you. Now, we know that Israel is 12 tribes. But how many obeyed this right here, according to verse 5, and then what happened to the rest of them? Read verse 5 again there, young man. Let's talk about it with the mothers. Come on.
All right. We're going back over to the book of Ezra, Ezra, chapter 1, verse number 5. Verse 5 reads, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Yada Judah and Benjamin and the priests, the Levites, with all them whose spirit Yahweh had raised, to go up to build the temple of Yahweh, which is in Yada Judah.
Wait a minute. So who did Yahweh raise up and stir up who built it? But it's 12 tribes. But he said the chief of the 12 tribes. That's what we keep telling you. That the one that anointed got to be on the same page. You can't accept no other way. You got to try to one, see if you all tied to the hip. And when you try through the Bible, you see one. You got to make a Bible decision. Oh, really? Oh, really? See? So who is the chief families of the 12 tribes of Israel that we can read, according to verse 5? Who will take a shot at that?
Judah. Go ahead. Go ahead. He said, who will my maker? I said, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi.
Excellent. Not that you say that's what it is. You fully persuaded, because you can read.
Hallelujah.
The chief men of the of Israel is Judah number one, Benjamin number two, and Levi three. And that's the order that we can read.
That's what I read.
That's the chief. And that's it. So your chief out of the 12. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. But what happened to the other tribe? Oh. So now that we know in 457 BC, the decree was, because he made it plain, the whole world is mine. We read it earlier, didn't we? Then Cyrus said he owned everything. Yahweh gave him the whole world. He got everything belongs him.
That's what we read.
And
that's what we read.
Cyrus, then Yahweh going to put in the mind of Cyrus to let the children of Israel go. So when you write with Yahweh, all he got to get in your mind and say, look, let them go. That's it. There goes Cyrus. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. So now we see they headed back south. Oh, what happened to the other one? So all of them, they had the paperwork to go now. So what happened to the rest of them? Now we better find out. Now we're going to 2 Ezra chapter. Now this is after the fact. This is after 457. They had the option to make their move. Now let's see what they did. Let's see what the other tribes did that we can read. 2 Ezra, young lion, chapter 13, verse 40 to 47. What did the other tribes do? 457 B.C. What did the other tribes do in 457 B.C.?
Going over to the book of 2 Ezra, chapter 13, picking up at verse 40 down to verse 47. Verse 40 reads, those are the 10 tribes which were carried away prisoners out of their own land in the time of Oseah the king, whom Salmanasar, the king of Assyria, led away captive, and he carried them over the walls. And so came they into another land. Verse 41. But they took this counsel among themselves, that they would leave the multitude of the heathen and go forth into a farther country where never mankind dwelt. Verse 42, that they might there keep their statutes, which they never kept in their own land. Verse 43, and they entered into the Euphrates by the narrow passages of the river. Verse 44, for the Most High, Yahweh, then showed signs for them and held still the flood till they were passed over. Verse 45, for through that country there was a great way to go, namely of a year and a half. And the same region is called Erisarit. Verse 46, then dwelt they there until the latter time. And now when they shall begin to come, 47, the highest Yahweh shall stay the springs of the stream again, that they may go through. Therefore sorrowest thou the multitude with peace.
Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
You mean telling me? Now I'm just putting dramatics on. You know, this ain't a cakewalk for the 6 and 9. All those on the network, but they gonna stand for me. They got into the River Euphrates,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. He helped the stream still. You know, still water. You mean it wasn't water jumping up all over the place? Still water. The water was there. Still water. You know, water just not moving, but you can get up in your thing and float on over. Now, what did you do? You got up into the Euphrates. Then you went to, after you come out of Euphrates, you're coming down. You hit another river they call now, it's called the Pacific Ocean, or it's called the Indian Ocean, because they don't change all the names, you know. They don't change the names, so, you know, but we try to tell you exactly what you did. Then you came all the way around south, all the way around. So, I mean, why it took you so long? You had to stop off at all these, you know, anytime you're there on the boat, you have to always stop off and regroup yourself. So that there was any boats, and they stopped off in places. Remember, you had to come down through Saudi Arabia. You had to come down through Yemen. You had to come down to Somalia. You had to come out, I'm just using the name, South Africa. You had to come all the way around. You had to come all the way around. You rolling all around. Here go your passage. See, we know exactly what you did, how you did it, when you did it. We just watched the best of them bump the guns. But if you don't know how to go in the Bible type, when you got in the freighter, you come down called this river called the Pacific, the Persian Gulf, or you want to call it the Persian Gulf, or you call it the Indian Ocean. You got in there and you start running. You ran all around, you cover all around until you got across around South Africa. You're in your ship, you pull over, and all these little hit towns and regroup, get yourself together, get back on there and ride some more. Then you end up, then you got down to the Atlantic Ocean. Then we got that big, great big ocean up there. Then you have to travel again. That's what you run to. In the Pacific Ocean over there, the Atlantic, the Pacific. Then you ran off into places called America, Canada. That's the only name they got on it. So now he ain't coming around. See, this is exactly what you did. We seen what you did, how you did, and where you end up right now, all the way in the West. But this is your trip that took you a year and a half to do it. Because you had, remember, you had Mother Z. You had a 2460. You were working with 2460, and that was only in that time. But in the time of Moses, let's talk about it. Hey, Mother, in 2460, can you help those see our Mother Z? What can we read in 2460, Mother Z, or the book of Genesis? Mother Z, we're going to look right down at 24, verse number 60, Mother. Help those see out and tell me what you're looking at in 24, verse 60. 24,
Genesis.
Verse 60 of Genesis. Yeah, and Mother E, hold on, Mother. And Mother E had me the first chapter of Deuteronomy. And pick up it around by verse number 8 down to verse number 11. Had me Deuteronomy chapter 1, 8 down to verse number 11. But what it say in 24:60 there? Hey, Mother E, 24:60 of Genesis, what it say?
Genesis chapter 24, verse 60. And the Yahweh blessed Rebekah and said unto her, you are our sister. Be you the mother of thousands of millions, and let thou see prosper the gates of those which hate you.
So in the time of Isaac's time, the children of Israel was how many million at that time, Mother Mosey?
Thousands of millions.
So you ain't never been a minority in no time. So when they tell you minority, you was 1,000 million back in that day. Then 500 years later, Mother E, 500 years later, what can we read in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8, down to verse number 11? What can we read there, Mother?
The book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. Verse 8 reads, "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Yahweh swore unto your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them." Verse 9, "And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. Verse 10, Yahweh, your Yahweh, have multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. Verse 11, Yahweh of your father, make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he has promised you."
So look at that. So now you more 500 years later than the prophecy of it that was fulfilled in Moses' days. Moses said, "I'm looking at you. You 1,000 times so many as you are. And bless you as he have promised you." So you see, when they got into the Euphrates, the children of Israel already knew how to, by knowing their culture, to everybody cut them a tree and make a boat and get in the boat. So when headed by Ephraim and Manasseh, Gad was the high priest. We'll take it at another time. But here's the point. There were so many canoes in the water. You know, by having little children and everything, you can't just stay in the water. You can ride a bit of food and everything else, and you pull on the side, and you got all these places to stop at coming around. We can see you right now. You had to come down from Iran. You was there. You stopped off in there. You stopped off in A-M-A-N. You stopped there. You're coming down around Somalia. You come around South Africa. You're swinging around. You're trying to get to the Atlantis or the Pacific. You're trying to get to one of these Pacifics. And once you got into the Atlantis and the Pacific, you can run right on off into America. You can run right off into Canada. You can run into a place called A-R-C-T-I-C Ocean. You all around there. See, we know what you did. See, we know where you're supposed to be at. But now it's time by you being there, prophecy have been fulfilled. Now it got to be somebody to wake you up to let you know by the lands you at, that's not you. You really are the people of the book. And where you at now, you supposed to be at. Because we know exactly how you got here. And we know exactly when the southern kingdom came. They didn't come. It's 70 A.D. The northern kingdom came over here in 457 B.C. when Cyrus had an order from Yahweh to let them go. Wherever the children of Israel, let them go. And a lot of them said, hey, we ain't going back. We're going back to Shem's western. We're going to stay west. We're going to Shem's land. So you see, and Yahweh stopped the flood. He stilled the water and let them just roll all the way around from the Euphrates to the Persian Gulf to the Indian Ocean. They come around all the way around South Africa. They swung all the way around. We started the name they got on now, but it wasn't the name, period. We just, you know, kind of. Then once they got over into the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean, hey, they just picked their pick. That's why it was in, that's why you got them in Canada. You got them everywhere. Arcticus, A-R-C-T-I-C, Ocean, Canada, and they own it. And they're going to be right there until voices for the true Israelites get a representative there and wake them up to let them know who you really are, how you got here. It ain't no need even think about getting there because you got to get the sin off of you. You got to get them fringes on you. You got to be some dust as the four-letter man because we got a big job ahead of us. That's why the school, land, banquet hall, all this stuff got to be put in place first. They got to have a headquarters to come, but we got to be prepared to sit them down and show them by our leadership where you at and what you got to do according to the scripture. So when in time somebody do verse 7, but Yahweh told you don't do Joel 2 verse 7, the last line above Micaiah. What did he say? Joel 2 verse 7, give me the last line.
Going over to the book of Joel. We're on chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 7. The book of Joel, chapter 2, verse number 7, the last line. The last line reads, and they shall not break their ranks.
When leadership knew all this information, and leadership said, sit down. Because you're committing suicide. You don't break your rank. But your spirit ain't right. Then you say, oh. See? There it is. To do this job right here, you got to lead by example. When it gets tough on you, you got to lead by example. I'll precept that to 30, 31 there, Brother Micaiah 1, 2, and pick up verse 17 of Jeremiah. 1:2 to skip down to verse 17. Let's read a little bit. Jeremiah 31, 1:2, and pick up verse 17.
Okay. Picking up at verse 17. We're going over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. We're going to pick it up at verse number 1:2, and we're going to skip down to verse number 17. The book of
Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse
31.
1:2.
Okay, 1. 31. All right. Picking up to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 1, 2, and skipping down to verse 17. The book of Jeremiah.
Can we read a little bit?
All right. Chapter 31, picking up at verse 1, reads, at the same time, says Yahweh, will I be the Yahweh of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Verse 2. Thus says the Yahweh, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Verse 17. And there is hope in thy end, says the Yahweh, that thy children shall come again to their own borders. Verse 18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastened me, and I was chastened, as a boar-like unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn you me, and I shall be turned. For you are the Yahweh, my Yahweh. Verse 19. Surely after that I was turned. I repented, and after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yet even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Verse 20. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, says the Yahweh. Verse 21. Set you up, waymarks. Make you high heaps. Set thy mind towards the highway, even the way which you went. Turn again, O virgin of Israel. Turn again to thee, your city. Verse 22. How long will you go about, O you black sliding daughter? For Yahweh hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Verse 23. Thus says the Yahweh of hosts, the Yahweh of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Yadad Judah, and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Yahweh bless you, O habitations of justice, and mountain of righteousness. Verse 24. And there shall dwell in Yadad Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. Verse 25. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Verse 26.
Excellent. Right there. Excellent. Back up. Hey, Mother Eve, give me Adam and Eve 26:9-14. But back up so we can date this thing in verse 6 and 7. Let's date it. Date it 6-8 there, young man. We're going to date it.
Okay.
Jeremiah 31, 6 down to verse 8. Let's date this.
The book of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 6 down to verse 8. Verse 6 reads, for there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise you, and let us go up to Yadad Judah, unto Yahweh, our Yahweh. Verse 7. For thus says the Yahweh, sing with the gladness for Israel, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish you, praise you, and say, O Yahweh, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Verse number 8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that! Yeah! The man is... Listen, the North Country, that's what they call America. They call America North America. So, because you know, children of Israel, you ain't got to... You're supposed to be in one place all about in North America. We're supposed to be there right now. We'll be packed in like sardines in North America. The Northern tribe was already here in 757 BC. The Southern tribes came, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi came in 70 AD. That was a little number, a little handful. You're talking about over there, a short end of the West Coast. That was they were still in the West, but you came up with another name on them folks over there. No, that's still West. All that's West. They were number a handful. The majority of the children of Israel had already got over here. Just 70 AD. They know how to cut a tree now. That's why you see trees everywhere. Make them all kind of canoes and get in it. and just get on there and ride around, stop off at some hit town, regroup, get some more supplies together, get back in that jet stream and ride. Because they was riding all around to get to the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean, then you can pick your stick and come on where you got to come at. See, listen, I can't tell you, we know what you got to do, but it's what you got to do that you won't do. You won't get in order. What you getting ready to read that, Mother? Hey, Mother, what you getting ready to read? That we can read in the first book of 9 through 14. What you getting ready to read?
The book of Adam and Eve, the first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 26, verse 9 to 14. Verse 9. Then came the word of Yahweh to Adam and said unto him, Adam, as far as the thorn, if I were to take it and bring it to thee, days, hours, years, and months would all come to naught, and the covenant I have made with thee would never be fulfilled. Verse 10. But thus should it then be turned and left in a long
clay,
and no salvation would be left to thee whatever. Verse 11. Yea, brother, bear long and claim thy soul without a day. Night and day, until the fulfillment of the days and the time of my covenant is come. Verse 12. Then shall I come and say thee, O Adam, for I do not wish that thou be afflicted. Verse 13. And when I look at all the good things in which thou did live, and why thou comest out of them, then would I willingly show thee mercy. Verse 14. But I cannot alter the covenant that has gone out of my mouth. Else would I have brought thee back into the garden.
Yeah. So you see, now look at the teaching going on. Give me a back of there, Young Lion, chapter 1, 1 through 11. So, listen, you see the teaching going on? You see why we got to be getting order? You see what you be hearing? You be hearing about some rapture going up and away. Everybody going to die. Listen, man, this ain't what the Bible talking about. The children of Israel supposed to be in the West. Supposed to be in the West, packed in like sardines, North America right now, till you get things prepared. Then we'll start you back, head into the wilderness, and we'll stop off and get you in all parts of the East to the West. Even if you talk about this West Africa, no, there ain't no such thing as West Africa. That's all this West Adam and Shem. All this is all the way West. We West all the way to the utmost part of the earth. Let's look at Rebecca chapter 1 through 11 and Mother Z. Get your commentary ready. Come right back after this. Get your commentary ready. Because, see, we got to practice. That's why it's so important to rehearse the righteous act on that other broadcast so we can give a pass as one accord. But it can't be no loose ends on one accord. You got to be 12 out of every camp strong in the word of Yahweh. And don't confound it. Got a big job to do. Habakkuk, chapter 1, 1 through 11. Come on there, Young Lion, bring it out.
The book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. Verse 1 down to verse number 11. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 1 reads, the burden which Habakkuk the seer did see. Verse 2. O Yahuwah, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear, even cry out unto you of violence, and you will not say. Verse 3. Why do you show me sin and cause me to behold grievous? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Verse 4. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment do never go forth. For the wicked do compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceed. Verse 5. Behold, you among the heathen in regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your day, which you will not believe, though it be told to you. Verse 6. For lo, I raise up the Chaldean and bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Verse 7. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. Verse 9. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall suck up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. Verse 10. And they shall scoff at the king, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Verse 11. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, and pitching this his power unto his Yahuwah.
Ain't that something?
You hear this man is saying, now what people did this?
What people beat you down, taking your land, and kicking you in the ring, all of a sudden, they mind started changing. Said, well, we might as well now let them read the Bible, but just read the Bible, but reason. That's why you see us, we just read the Bible, but we really can't reason. Because they didn't teach you how to reason. They only taught you how to convert scriptures and show what they there and you not, and you pass that on. They told you how to ignore what the Bible's saying. See, now, and you watch the best of them, they just be reading the Bible, but they don't have a reason of the Bible. Because we watch you read the Bible, I mean, with the best of them. But do you understand what you read? And that's what we come in at. And so we got to watch them read the Bible and ask them a question. Do you understand what you read? You don't get puffed up and get all excited. You know? People say, how can I? Unless the Sixth Anointing Council guide me. See that? This is what's going on today. Because we read that, to the seer saying, a better days. He said, why are you showing me this thing, how they going to be whooping my people like this? See, this was not in Habakkuk. You know what time Habakkuk received this? You tell me. Let's see. See what time Habakkuk received this prophecy, Habakkuk. Get ready, Mother Z, we're going to bring you in. You see, this, I mean, 3 hours ain't really long enough. But Habakkuk, 626 B.C. 626 B.C. So the northern king went up into Assyria in 722. So he's about 60, 70 years old. He said about 6 or 7 years later, from the 722, when the Assyrians came down and got him, taking him over to Babylon and put them all off in the spots and you know, what he at now, some of them there right now. But he said, why are you showing me all these things here? God, dog, you mean this is what happened to this? Yeah. And all this stuff is going on right now. Because at this time, this is what happened to you. And it was shown by the seer to tell exactly what's going to happen to you right here at 1 through 11. Now, back of the seer, he did see, but how he seen? From the mouth of Yahuwah. Yahuwah put it, showed him exactly what's going to happen. He wrote it down, and now we just rehearsing the righteous act. So we just going to stop right there for a minute and bring Mother Z in, see if she want to make any kind of comments or whatever the Almighty put on her. But take them a 45. You know, we get back on tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow same time, 6 p.m. You know, 6 p.m. tomorrow, but no class Tuesday. You see our time running, you know? So, Mother Z, what do you want to address and tell this old national audience before we kind of get back on it tomorrow at 6 p.m.? What you got to say there, Mother Z? You and clock come out.
I'm going to read in the book of 2 Timothy, verse 3, starting at verse 1. This know also that in the last days, parallel times shall come. And then I'm going back to 1 Timothy, chapter 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speak, express that in the latter time some shall depart from the covenant, giving heed to sound spirits and doctrines and devils. Verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience sealed with an hot iron. Verse 3, forbidden to marry, and commanding to Dutch.
Abstain.
From meat with Yahuwah, which Yahuwah has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Verse 4, for every creature of Yahuwah is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of Yahuwah and prayer. Verse 6, if you put your brother in remembrance of those things, you shall be a good minister, a good teacher of Yahuwah the Son. Nursing up in the words of the covenant and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained it. I'm going to stop right there and say, Hallelujah.
All right. That mother, let's look at and find out what we got to do, and we're going to close the statement out of you. Let's take a look at how to do, mother. And 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 and 22, and close the statement, what it say? 1 Peter, make it 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, and a closing statement. What did it say then?
It says First Peter.
Make it second.
Okay.
And young lion, have me mark chapter 10, 29 and 30 in a closing statement. Let's see what we can get out of this, Mug. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. What does it say?
Second Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Okay. Second Peter chapter 2. Boy. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and verse 22. Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Yahweh also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Verse 23.
Excellent. That's it, 22. That's right. So we supposed to follow his steps, mother. He ain't had no guile in his mouth. We'll follow his steps, and we'll get back on again tomorrow at 6 o'clock. What your closing statement is behind that. Come on.
Okay, just thanking and praising Yahweh for the class, thanking and praising Yahweh for the seal, and thanking and praising Yahweh for being able to be in the class. And I'm going to say to the class to hold on and don't give up. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh. Hey, young man, before you read that, Mark 10:29-30. Give me that Nahum chapter 1, verse 9 and 12. Then read that in the closing statement. We're saying Nahum chapter 1, verse 9 and 12. See, we got to build up those that got to Nahum 1, 9 and 12. Come on.
Nahum chapter 1, verse 9 and verse number 12. Verse 9 reads, what do you imagine against the Yahuwah? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Verse number 12. Thus says the Yahuwah, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down. When he shall pass through, though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more.
Mark 10, 29 and 30 in the closing statement. Excellent, young lion. Excellent, mothers. Stay happy. Come on.
The book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 29 and verse 30. Verse 29 reads, and Yahweh the Son answered and said, truly I say unto you, there is no man that have left house, or brother, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake, in the covenant. Verse 30, but he shall receive a hundredfold now, in this time, house and brother and sister and mother and children and land and persecution and in the world to come, eternal life.
Well, that's big talk. We got to get a precept on that. Mr. K. Fun on that, young line. Job 42, give me the last three. Job 42, last three verses in the closing statement. I gotta get a precept out of that. You need a case in point. See, when you keep your Yahuwah right, I don't care what's going on. Job 42, the last three verses, and a closing statement. Come on.
Okay, we're going over there to the book of Job. We're going to pick it up at chapter 42, and we're gonna get the last three verses. The book of Job, chapter 42, picking up at verse number 15. 15 reads, and in all the land where no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. Verse 16. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even for generations. Verse 17, so Job died, being old and full of days.
See, he doubled a man up because one thing about it, he held fast on the covenant that we can read together. And that's what we got to do. Don't let nothing to your left or your right abate you from the covenant of Yahweh. Job helped and Yahweh blessed him double than what he had in the beginning. And that's how he rolled. You get it right? He got you right. Come on, young line, take your time and take it all the way out. The last voice we're going to be hearing is yours all the way, and we'll catch you all at 6 p.m. tomorrow. Come on.
All right. Go and pick it up at the – well, I'm going to first thank Yahweh for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahweh, for the opportunity to get to meet Seer Israel, see Roy, to be able to learn out of the Seer, out of the whole 12 tribes. We want to thank Yahweh for just for this opportunity, you know, just to be grateful and say that everybody don't have the opportunity to meet the Seer. So I also want to thank Yahweh for that. I got to truly be grateful for that. I thank Yahweh for my wife and my children to be able to teach them that the words I've been learning through the Seer from Yahweh. And also I want to thank Yahweh for our elders and for our mothers and for all the teachers in the Six Anointed Camps and also for all the brothers and sisters and for breaking the 12 tribes of Israel back together in one accord. I want to go and read the book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 12, and I'm going to pick it up at verse 30 and 31. Verse 30 reads, it signified that these are they whom the highest Yahweh had kept until their end. This is the small kingdom, full of trouble, as you saw it. Verse 31, and the lion whom you saw is rising up out of the wood and roaring, speaking to the eagle and rebuking her for her unrighteousness with all the words which you have heard. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's tomorrow at 6 p.m.
Sears.
Plus the region, severe epidemic, enterovirus, respiratory.
5 is when we'll see it. Okay. Now it says the